Take your Bibles this morning, and we're going to be turning to two different passages this morning, two different passages, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and John chapter 15, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and John chapter 15 this morning. Now, this Memorial Day weekend, we take time to remember those who have given their lives to keep us free, going back to the founding of our country, even to today. There are soldiers giving their lives all over the world, almost on a daily basis, to serve our country. And this morning, and perhaps there are some here who have lost comrades in arms and loved ones to war, and the Bible records the account of one soldier who gave his life so that others might live. He made his commander proud, and he will never be forgotten. And his story is an inspiration to every Christian to this day. And before we find out who that is, if we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to look at verse number 3. Oh, wait, sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 3. First Timothy, there we go. Not that one. We'll turn to John chapter 15. We'll get to the other one in just a moment. John chapter 15 and verse 13. John 15, 13, a verse we know very well. Can we read it aloud together? John 15, 13 this morning. Begin. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let's read it one more time together. John 15, chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I pray that you bless us and help us, that you guide us in the way, encourage us in the message this morning. And we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for our country. Thank you for those who have served. And we thank you for those that have given their life so that others might live. I pray that you guide and direct us and help us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now take your Bibles into Acts chapter 6 this morning. Acts chapter 6. Maybe we know stories of those that were heroes in World War II or in Korea and Vietnam, that they gave their life, some maybe jumping out a grenade or taking fire from their unit so that other people might be able to live. Or maybe they got in the path of innocent civilians and saved their life. We hear stories of all of that. If you go on Fort Hood and you go to the 1st Cavalry Division Museum, inside of there is the Hall of Honor, which is Medal of Honor recipients. There are very few of them that are still alive today. And many of them have been given that award posthumously, meaning after they have died. And that is why they received that Medal of Honor, is because they did a heroic deed to save lives of those that were either under their command or that were their comrades in arms. And this morning, we need to understand some things about the Christian life. There are some things that we must remember, is that we don't just live this Christian life to please ourselves. We do it to please God. And we also, as the Christian life is compared to being a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ, doing battle, putting on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we're going to look at a soldier this morning. And this soldier, he didn't carry a gun or wield a sword or fly an airplane or pilot a ship. He did not have a uniform. He did not wear any protective gear. His only weapon was the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And his power and his protection was in the Holy Spirit of God. And in Acts chapter 6, we are introduced to a man. A man, this is at the very beginning of the church. This man was a man that we consider a hero in the Christian faith. And his name was Stephen. And a message entitled, The Sacrifice of a Soldier. Though Stephen didn't serve any country, though he didn't die in a physical war, he did die, he did give his life, but he was a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're introduced to him in Acts chapter 6, and we see that Stephen was chosen in the first 7 verses of Acts chapter 6. He was chosen as a deacon. And there were those that were in need there in Jerusalem. And there were those that had physical needs and spiritual needs. And the disciples and apostles could not take care of all of those needs. And so they called together. They called seven deacons. One of them being Philip, another being Stephen. And these deacons, what they did, they were not just, help with physical needs. They did not just help with, those things. And though amazing grace, how sweet the sound is, a wonderful sound, isn't it? All right. There this morning, and that's great. Actually, that was a good timing for that one, Brother Scott. That was great timing for that. But for Stephen, these people did not only do physical needs, they were preachers as well. And that they preached and they taught. And we see that Stephen here in verse number 8, let's look at Acts chapter 6 and verse number 8, we see something about him. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And so we need to see, we're going to look at five attributes and five things that we know about Stephen that made him a good Christian soldier. Number one, he believed the truth. He believed the truth. Stephen was a dedicated follower of Christ. He did all that Christ commanded. He came to a place in his life where he realized that he was a sinner. And he realized that Jesus Christ was the Messiah sent to save man from their sin. And he realized his sinful condition and trusted upon Christ to be his Savior. And he decided from that day on that he was going to believe the truth of God's Word and the truth of the Gospel. He did all that God, Christ commanded. We see in his testimony here in Acts chapter 6 and 7 that he never once said, God, I won't do it. He never once said that I'm going to go over here and do my own thing. But he knew his Bible as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we're given an admonition as a Christian. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says this, study to do, shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you know, if you're a Christian here this morning and you want to do battle for the Lord, you better know your Bible. You better know what it says. And we see in a little later on in his in this account, we're going to look at this in a minute, that Stephen came to a place where he needed to know his Bible. And he knew it so well, he knew it by heart. But he believed the truth. He knew his Bible, he believed. He prayed and he spent time with God. When he trusted Christ as Savior, he surrendered his whole life to the Lord. Then Stephen here, we see in Acts chapter 6, Stephen was called to active duty. He was called upon to be a deacon. He was called by God to fulfill a position. A position that was not easy. We understand in Jerusalem at this time, the Romans are persecuting Christians and so are the Jewish people. The Christians are finding great persecution. And actually that is the result of Stephen's death because of persecution. He is the first martyr recorded in Scripture. He was called to active duty. He went, his Lord called. He said, I will go. The Lord said, I want you to do a job for me. He said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Just like any good soldier would. You know, if you're a soldier here and you're in the United States Army or you're in another branch of the service, you know, you went through a training time. You went to boot camp. You went to AIT. You went to specialized training. You had training all throughout your career to do different things. And guess what? In order for you to get a promotion, in order for you to get a job to do in the Army, you better prove that you can do your job and do it well. Because when you get out there in the battlefield, they want to be able to depend upon you. And guess what? If you can't get through basic training, you say, well, sorry, you know, I'm so glad that you volunteered, but you're not going to make the cuts. You know what? If you want to serve God, you better have some training. We get training here in the church, but also if you're going to serve God full time, maybe as a pastor, missionary, evangelist, whatever it is, you better get some training so that you're ready to serve when God calls you to active duty. Every Christian should be asking, Lord, what would you have for me to do? Every Christian and every soldier, they have to know their weapon, whatever they're tasked with doing. Some, we know in the Army here that they deal with the Patriot missile batteries. Guess what? You better know your business when you're firing those things. You better know the calculations. You better know your tables. You better know all of that. If you're in the infantry, man, you better know your firearms. If you're a saw gunner, you better know your machine gun. If you're a rifleman, you better know your, what is that, AR-15? That you use them? AR-15? Yes, I think so. Not AR-15. Anyway, M-16, whatever it is. I'm not in the military if you hadn't figured that out yet. Your rifle, they will say that. You better know your equipment that you carry. Better have your pack ready, your emergency medical pack. You better have your protective plate in the right place. You better know how to use it all. Because guess what? Your life may depend upon it. And you know what? Stephen was called upon to know his business, and his business was the Word of God. His business was battling for the souls of men. That was his business, and that was what God called him to do. He was called to serve in the army of the living God, to be a deacon, preacher, and the first martyr. He had counted the cost of being a soldier of Christ. Many others were being persecuted, and he knew that perhaps he would have to give his life for his Lord. He was ready with that commitment. It's not much unlike the commitment our soldiers make every single day. They make a commitment to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, to obey their superior officers and uphold the Universal Code of Military Justice, to obey the President of the United States, to be faithful, to carry out their duty. And if that duty means they go into the jaws of death and never come out, that's okay with them. That's what they signed up for, to defend our country. That's why we need to thank a soldier whenever we see them. Because they go, they might be called to go to that place or go on that patrol or go to save innocent people, and they never come home. As Christians, we need to start counting the costs in that way. Because if we're going to serve God, we will, the Bible says, we will suffer persecution. The world hated Christ then, and the world hates Christ now. Jesus said, marvel not if they hate you. So don't be surprised, because the disciples were like, why do they hate us? And Jesus said, well, if they hate me, they're definitely going to hate you. So let's not be surprised when people call us names for being Christians and say, well, I'm just going to take you out. I'm going to kill you because you know God. You love God. This is the hallmark of a good Christian soldier. We need to count the cost. We need to make a decision. We need to decide if the gospel of Christ is worth dying for. Is it worth dying for the truth? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Guess what our society says? Absolutely no way. It's not worth it. It's not worth dying for God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean? He says, it doesn't matter what I want. All that matters is what God wants. That's what a good Christian soldier says. It doesn't matter what I need or what I want. It's what God wants me to do. Guess what? I don't think Stephen, if he was told, you know, you're going to be stoned to death, I don't think he would have said, I volunteered to do that. I don't think he stood up there and said, I want to do that. Guess what? Is that we have to understand something, that there's going to be things. We want to live, I think, all of a sudden. We want to live. We want to live to see another day. We want to live a full life. But guess what? If we're called by God to stand for the truth, will we stand and give our life, or will we cave in? And this was what was happening at this time in history. There are those that call themselves Christians, but then when they were dragged before the Romans, they were dragged before the governor, or dragged before Nero. A little later on, it was Nero. And they were faced with either claim that Nero was God and recant your faith, or you'd be thrown to the lions in the Colosseum. Actually, you know, how many of you ever heard of the Colosseum? Heard of the Colosseum, right? I've heard of the Colosseum. You know what the Colosseum was for? Killing people. For the circus and the games, and what they did for fun is they killed Christians with lions and gladiators and tortured them and ripped them to pieces for fun. Pretty nasty, huh? Pretty bad. Guess what? Television in America hasn't gotten much better than that. What we see going on today. Making fun of God. We need to count the cost. Is the gospel worth dying for? So number one, he believed the truth. Number two, he fought for the truth. While in service for Jesus Christ, Stephen fought many battles. And we see that. Look back at Acts chapter 6 here. Acts chapter 6 in verse number 8. And we see some things that Stephen did. Acts chapter 6 verse number 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He did great wonders. He fought battles. Guess what? If you're going to serve God, you're going to fight some battles. You're going to fight the devil. You're going to fight. Sometimes we're not here to necessarily fight with people, but people that are working for the devil's side, we're going to have some battles to face. And spiritual battles, not the battles with flesh and blood, that we cannot, the Bible also says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but that we have spiritual weapons. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That's why you need to know His Bible. You need to know how to wield that Scripture. He did not fight for lands. He did not fight for to conquer a nation. He did not fight for wealth. He did not fight for fame. He did not even fight for himself. He fought with the sword of the Spirit and sought to free men's souls from the chains of sin and shame by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he did. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many people were saved. And many people, and he even worked miracles, which we don't see today. But we see that God was using him. It wasn't his power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the power of God. And God was using him. He healed the sick. He worked miracles. All in the power of the Holy Spirit. And also it says here he was full of faith. Full of faith. He had faith in God. He had faith in Jesus Christ. And that whatever God wanted him to do, he had faith that God would do it. He was just to be faithful and do it. He was not fighting for himself, but for his Lord. Look at verse 9. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Sicilia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They couldn't get away from what he was saying. He was preaching the truth. He was speaking God's word. He was instructing them. And they were saying, well, that's not right. That's not what the religious people say. Well, that's not what tradition says. That's not what's going on over here. And you know what? He didn't say, well, this is what I think. He said, this is what God says in his word. And guess what? They could not deny it. They couldn't resist what he was doing. What he said they could not resist, meaning that he was convincing people to be saved. He was convincing people that the Bible was true. He was convincing people that to come to Christ and to believe in Jesus Christ. He was not defending God's territory, but he was invading the devil's territory. There's a difference there, you know. You know, sometimes we get it and say, hey, we're in a holding action. We're just trying to defend what God already has. You know what? We need to start invading the devil's territory. We need to start storming the gates of hell and going and seeing people get saved. Guess what? Stephen was not the type to sit around. He wasn't going to sit over here and let things happen. He was going to go and he was going to be in the Spirit of God. And he was going to go and see people saved and do what God called them to do, no matter what. He was a good soldier. And you know what? And whenever we invade the hordes of hell, then we're in for the fight of our lives, because the devil doesn't go down easy. The devil wastes no time in trying to weaken and destroy Stephen by sending those to dispute the truth with him, trying to confuse him, trying to confuse what he was doing. But guess what? The Holy Spirit's power gave him the truth, and he gave it to them. Gave indisputable proof of what God had done. Indisputable proof of the gospel in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And you know what? He was called, and what happened after this says this. They were not able to resist wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Verse 11, then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. I want you to pay attention to that. We're going to come to this in a minute. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And you know what? Stephen, right here, what is happening? He is taken to court. He is brought before the religious leaders, and these people had the power of death in their hand. And that they could kill him if they thought that he was blaspheming God, meaning that he was teaching something that wasn't true. And so what happened is he got pulled in front of them. And you know what? Because they could not resist his words, because they know he was preaching the truth, you know what they decided to do? They lied about him. They set up false witnesses, which they broke the law of God. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And so they set up false witnesses saying he is blaspheming against God and the law. Does that sound familiar? That's the same thing they said about Jesus when he went before the Sanhedrin. And they set up false witnesses saying, he blasphemeth the law. Said the same exact thing. So they said, hey, it worked with Jesus, it'll work with this guy. We can just get rid of him. And you know what? A lot of people today, you know what they would be saying right now? Stephen's in trouble. He is in court. And most lawyers today would say, hey, you know what? Now might be a good time just to say, hey, you didn't mean any harm. Hey, start apologizing for what you've done. How about you just step aside and just say, hey, it was all a big mistake. I won't do that anymore. You know, I'm just going to leave everybody alone. Since you don't want the truth, I'm not going to say it anymore. Isn't that what we hear today? We hear that a lot. Oh, we make apology for the gospel. We make an apology for the truth of Jesus Christ. And you know what he does? In verse number 1 of chapter 7. And he said, men and brethren and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. So he goes on. He starts there. So he speaks to them. They give him a moment to defend himself. And so something very interesting that they had said. They had said that he had blasphemed against Moses and the law. So what he does is he stands up and he stands by the truth. He has lied about, he's told us he's a blasphemer, that he's a liar. Instead of defending himself, he preaches an amazing sermon. He gives the Sanhedrin a history lesson. Gives them a history lesson. And that he goes from the beginning with the Abrahamic covenant all the way through to Jesus. Went through Abraham and Isaac and Moses all the way through. And then brings it through to one simple thing, condemning them for what they had done in killing Jesus Christ. And that they had turned away from the truth. He knew how to win friends and influence people. He told them exactly the truth about themselves, and guess what? People are not going to like that. He told them exactly the truth about what their condition was and how they could fix it. He went on from verse number 1 all the way down through verse number 53. And the last two verses. Verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which sued before of the coming of the Just One, meaning Jesus, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers. He's talking about John the Baptist, how he had his head taken from him, the forerunner of Christ. And verse 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. They had not kept the law like they had thought. So if you're going to try and not get killed, this is not the way to do it. He was telling them the truth. He was giving them an opportunity to get right with God. He was giving them an opportunity to trust in Christ. But guess what? What do we see in verse number 54? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They were convicted. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Was gnashing on them with their teeth. Some people believe actually that the people were trying to go and bite him. They were so angry with him. But mostly what it means is that they were just speaking all kinds of terrible things to him and probably cursing him and things that the Bible does not even record. Telling him all kinds of terrible things and proclaiming how he was wrong. So he stood by the truth. Guess what? He had counted the cost. He knew who he was, who his Lord was. He knew what the truth was. And he was not for sale. He wasn't going to say, well, you know what? My life isn't worth that much. I'll sell the truth for my life. No, the truth was the most important thing to him, as it should be to us. The truth should be the most important thing to a Christian. Telling the truth and standing by the truth. Are you willing to stand by the Word of God? Or are you going to apologize for it? Are we going to, when someone comes up, hey, you're a Christian, you believe that Bible, the book, the Bible, it just makes me so mad. Oh, I'm so sorry it upsets you. We don't need to apologize for God. You know what? God never apologizes for himself. God never apologizes for his word, ever. People will accept it or reject it. That is up to them. But at the same time, we don't need to cower and hide because that's exactly what the world wants Christians to do. That's exactly what the devil wants Christians to do. is cower and hide. A lot of you here, you go to public school. And a lot of you here claim to be saved. And you've gotten saved recently. Guess what? If your life changes and you go to school and you are a Christian and you carry your Bible, guess what? You're going to get made fun of. Oh, you're one of those Jesus people. Oh, you can't do this and that in a life of rules and things. And guess what? It's going to be hard. But it's worth it because you have the truth. Live by it and stand by it like a good soldier. Those of us who are grown and adults, guess what? The Bible is going to cost us some things. Why? Because we're honest and we do things by God's Word. It might cost you something at your job. It might cost you something in your home. I don't know what it might be, but standing by the truth and standing for right is always the right thing to do. He stood by the truth. Number four, he died for the truth. So what happened to Stephen? Well, let's read what happened to him. Look back here at Acts chapter 7. And some people would say this was a sad end. But here in Acts chapter 7, we see they gnashed him with the teeth. But verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Man, they were violent. They were going after him. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. That's a whole other message. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died for the truth. He died for the truth. What is that truth? The truth of the gospel. What is the gospel? Forgiveness from God. Now, if anybody here, you know, we're about to die and we can look up to heaven and say, Lord, just burn them up like a cinder for what they're doing. They're sinning against you. Just judge them after I'm gone. Did he do that? No. Because he believed the truth of the forgiveness of God. He said, Lord, I want you to forgive them. Please do not lay this sin to their charge. They're doing wrong, but don't lay it to them. I'm giving my life willingly here. Don't judge them for this. Forgive them. That's exactly why he was dying, because he cared about their souls too. Even though they didn't care what they did to him, he cared that they would be saved. He gave his life so that others might live and might come to know the truth. And you know what? One important person did. And I believe God gave us this detail for a reason. And that the Apostle Paul, whose Jewish name is Saul, this young man that here, before he got saved, this is the Apostle Paul standing here. He persecuted the church. He was standing there. He was consenting, meaning he was the witness from the Pharisees of this, was to make it legal. He was the magistrate, and he was consenting. He said, go ahead and stone him. He was there in that meeting, more than likely. He was probably part of the Sanhedrin, many people believe. That he was there, that he was one that gnashed on him with his teeth, and that he was upset. But then he saw something. One thing that Paul was loyal to as well was the truth. And his teacher, Gamaliel, was also loyal to the truth. And we see that later on in Acts. Though it was their version of the truth, but something I believe happened in the life of Saul that day. That he saw this man who was a follower of Jesus. He had maybe seen other people that had been stoned, that were blasphemers, that had blasphemed God and were stoned in judgment. They had cursed God, or they had some false doctrine about God, and they were there pleading and cursing and saying that God would judge you all and destroy you all. Maybe he had seen that, but this one was different. He wasn't fighting back. Never once do you see in Stephen's time before the Sanhedrin do you see Stephen defend himself. He doesn't defend himself. He doesn't justify himself. He doesn't do anything except proclaim the truth of God. And he saw God, and he saw Jesus up in heaven. That's where he was about to go. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He died for the truth. Turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28. You know, as Christians, we don't need to fear death. No need to fear the dying of the physical body, because our soul will live forever to be with the Lord in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus gives us a warning, though. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body, soul and body in hell. Who are we to fear? The devil. Now the devil, if we're a Christian, he can't touch us. But guess what? The devil deceives so many into the pit of hell, thinking they can work themselves to heaven, they can be baptized away to heaven, they can be good enough to get to heaven, or that they don't need Jesus Christ, all of those things, that when that happens, then their soul and their body is destroyed in hell. That's what we need to fear. But guess what? If we're a Christian and we're saved, our soul is safe in God, is in the Father's hand, we don't need to fear death. That is what Stephen was faced with, death. But he faced it with grace and confidence in Christ, just as Jesus did himself. He had already counted the cost. He knew that this might happen. He willingly laid down his life because he was the friend of Christ. Greater love hath no man than this. A man laid down his life for his friends. And he was a friend of God. And he laid it down. God said, you need to lay down your life, Stephen. He said, I will. Because I love you, Lord. I'll do it. So that others can come to know the truth. You know how many people have been saved because of this account of Stephen? Saul was saved eventually. This did something to him. Maybe it began to make him think a little, because he could not deny the truth that Stephen spoke. This is what a true soldier does. Will die for the truth if necessary. There have been many soldiers in America that have died for the truth of freedom and liberty of this land, and they have died willingly, giving their life to defend it. And we call them heroes. We call them good soldiers. And you know what? If we want to be a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to do the same. But you know what? Number five. So we see first that he believed the truth. Then he fought for the truth. He stood by the truth. And he died for the truth. But now he lives with the truth. So what do you mean? He now lives in the glories of heaven. He saw God on his throne. And he saw Jesus standing. And you know, if you look at other passages of Scripture, it said when Jesus, he now sits on the right hand of God. But here, Jesus is standing. You know what? I love that song. When Fairhaven Quartet was here last week, remember that? I love, you know, forget the name of the song. It's on one of the Fairhaven CDs, though. I really like that song. There's Walking Through the Flames, that one, but there's one that talks about Stephen. Actually, and was that? I Saw Jesus, that's right. That's one of my favorite songs on the whole CD. I love that song. You know why? Because I never knew that, picked up on that detail, that one detail until I read it. I said, no, it really doesn't say that. It does. See that he stood. Jesus was standing because he saw what Stephen was doing. God sees what we do. God sees how we stand for him or how we make apologies for the truth. He sees it all. And Stephen was so like Christ. He had the mind of Christ and loved Christ so much that he acted just like he would, just like he did in that situation. Jesus willingly gave his life. And he said the same things. The Lord, he called out to his Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Said the same exact thing. Because all he cared about was others. It didn't matter about him. It was about other people. But now Stephen lives with the truth. He now lives in the glories of heaven. He is now present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We can be confident in this. And it's not a fairy tale. He now lives with the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. That is where everyone who has trusted Christ as Savior will reside for all of eternity. Let me ask you a question. Where will you spend eternity this morning? If something happened to you right now, what would happen to you? Would you go to heaven to be with the Lord and to see Stephen and Moses and Elijah and Elisha? You know, we got a lot of people to talk to up in heaven. Got our family, and I want to go talk to Adam. We can go talk to Eve. We can go talk to them. But most importantly, we can speak with our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. And with our Heavenly Father. We can be confident in this because Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. The payment for sin is finished. All we must do is accept it. Will you accept it today? All of us are sinners. All of us are in danger of hellfire unless we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. For the wages of sin is death. But maybe as a pastor, I'm saved here today. Have you signed up to be that good soldier? Do you need to know your Bible better? Do you stand for the truth? Do you make apologies for the truth? Or are you willing to die for the truth? We need some more people in our land today that are willing to die for the truth. That are willing to stand by it no matter what. Because a day might come here in the United States. Or maybe God calls you to a mission field somewhere and you'll be faced with death. Stop your preaching or we're going to kill you. What are you going to do? Keep preaching? Or say, well, I guess that's it. It's a closed door. Packing up, going home. Some people do that. Instead of standing for the truth. What is the gospel worth to you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Lord, for our soldiers. We thank you, Lord, for Stephen. And the example that he is and how he challenges us and how you have recorded what he did for you and what you enabled him to do in your word. And I pray this morning that it impacts our hearts and our lives. We pray during this invitation time, if any are not saved this morning, they need to know for sure. They don't know for sure. They're on their way to heaven. They want to accept you this morning. I pray that they would come forward so we can show them from your word how to be saved. For Lord, the message hasn't changed. The same message that Stephen was preaching then is the same one we're preaching now. Your word doesn't change. The gospel doesn't change. We pray to you, Lord, that we would see changed lives here today. Perhaps some here today, some Christians say, I need to sign up for active duty. The Lord's speaking to me about it and I need to do it. I need to study to show myself approved. I need to know my Bible. I need to contend for the faith. I need to stand even if no one else is standing. Lord, I pray that you bless us and guide us in the invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, as we rise to our feet this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. A question this morning, if something happened to you right now, where would you spend eternity? Would you spend it in the splendors of heaven or the horrors of hell? So I don't know. It depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. Whether or not you accept what he did for you on the cross. And whether you're willing to repent of your sin and see it for what it is, that is sending you to real, literal flames in hell. But if you have trusted Christ, we are saved from hell. We are saved from our sin, and we're thankful for that. But who would say this morning, Mr. Pastor, I know that I'm not saved. I know I need Jesus. I know I need to be saved from my sin. Is there someone like that here today? Just slip your hand up. Anybody like that? Anybody at all? Just slip your hand up. Anybody at all? So I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. But I want to know for sure. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. Anybody like that at all? Amen. Put your hand down. Anybody else? I have one that raised their hand. Anybody else? Any adults here today? Maybe you don't know for sure. Maybe some young people you don't know for sure. Perhaps you're a Christian here today. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but you know what's in your heart. Maybe that you've shrunk away from the truth, and maybe you haven't been willing to stand for the truth because it costs you something. Will you count the cost today? Will you count the cost and stand for truth no matter what? Even if it costs you your life one day, are we willing to stand for truth?